Welcome to the podcast, everyone. I'm James, and as always, I'm joined by the brilliant Lisa. Today, we're diving into a topic that's become absolutely essential in education, understanding competencies and those all-important 21st century skills. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm great, James, and I'm really excited about this one. Competencies can sound a bit buzzwordy, but once you dig in, they're genuinely transformative for both teaching and learning. So, where shall we start?
Let's start right at the basics. What actually is a competency? I think a lot of people confuse it with just knowing stuff, but it's much more than that, isn't it?
Absolutely. A competency is really about what a student can do with what they know. So rather than just recalling facts or concepts, it's the ability to apply knowledge, skills, and even attitudes in real world or authentic contexts. It's about observable, measurable performance, what you can see and assess.
Right. So instead of just saying, understand the causes of the American Revolution, a competency would be more like, evaluate multiple primary sources to construct and defend an explanation of those causes. So students have to actually do something meaningful with the information.
Exactly. And there are some key features that set competencies apart. They're integrative, which means they combine knowledge, skills, and attitudes. They're contextualized, so you see them in action in tasks rather than just through recall. Plus, they've got to be observable, accessible, and transferable, so students can use them in different subjects and situations.
That's interesting, because in a traditional classroom, you often see content coverage, teachers working through a textbook, chapter by chapter. But with competencies, the focus shifts to what students can actually do by the end of it.
Exactly. Content coverage is about inputs, what's taught. Competencies are about outputs, what students produce or demonstrate. For example, instead of just learning about water filtration, a competency might be collaborate with a team to design and prototype a low-cost water filtration system that reduces turbidity by at least 70%. It's measurable and tied to real action.
And that brings us to those core 21st century skills everyone keeps talking about. There's critical thinking, creativity, collaboration, communication, problem solving, and, of course, information, media, and technology literacy. Each of these has its own observable behaviours, right?
Yes, and that's what makes them so practical. Take critical thinking, for example. It's not just thinking hard about something. It's about analysing information, questioning claims, comparing sources, justifying conclusions with evidence, and even spotting biases or logical flaws. You can literally watch students do these things in the classroom.
And creativity isn't just about art projects, is it? It's about generating new ideas, combining knowledge in innovative ways, experimenting and adapting solutions. So, you might see students proposing different approaches, designing prototypes, or revising their work after getting feedback.
Spot on. Collaboration is another one, working productively and respectfully with others, sharing responsibility, managing conflict, and making the most of different perspectives. So in practice, you'd look for things like equitable contribution to group tasks and active listening.
And communication? Well, that's more than just talking. It's about getting your ideas across clearly, whether it's through speech, writing, visuals, or digital media, and adapting your message to your audience. You might see students presenting arguments, using appropriate tone, or summarizing someone else's ideas.
Exactly. Problem solving is all about identifying problems, defining criteria for success, generating and testing solutions, and iterating based on feedback. And then there's information, media, and technology literacy, being able to find, evaluate, use, and even create information responsibly across digital platforms.
So the big question is, how do you actually write a competency statement that's clear and usable?
There's a really handy formula for that. Start with an action verb, then the task or performance, include the context or conditions, and finish with the criteria or quality level. For example, analyze multiple primary sources to determine the causes of an event and produce a written argument supported by at least three pieces of evidence.
I love that. It's so much more concrete than just saying understand or no. And you're specifying exactly what good looks like, how many pieces of evidence, what kind of output, and under what conditions.
Exactly. The verbs are key. Analyze, design, justify, synthesize, evaluate, demonstrate. These are all things you can observe and assess. And it's important to specify the conditions, like time limits or resources, and the success criteria, such as accuracy or completeness.
And once you've got those competency statements, they become the backbone of your lesson design. You work backwards. Start with the competency. Decide what evidence would show students have achieved it, and then plan learning experiences that build up to that performance.
That's called backwards design, and it's such a powerful approach. You scaffold the skills progressively. Maybe you start with teacher modeling, then guided practice, and finally independent performance. And you choose active learning strategies that require authentic application, like project-based tasks or debates.
And assessment is aligned with those competencies too. You've got diagnostic checks at the start, maybe a quick quiz or a KWL chart to see where students are. Then formative checks along the way, like exit tickets or peer reviews, giving feedback tied to the competency criteria. And finally, summative assessments that really require students to demonstrate the competency, like presentations, portfolios, or lab reports.
Exactly. And the evidence of competency can come in many forms: artifacts like projects or written arguments, performances like live demonstrations or group facilitation, and portfolios that collect work over time, with reflection and revision built in.
It's really practical, isn't it? For instance, in primary English, a competency might be write a coherent opinion paragraph about a familiar topic, including a clear opinion, two supporting reasons, and a concluding sentence. The assessment could start with a graphic organizer and peer feedback, and finish with a final paragraph assessed against a rubric.
Or, in science, students might plan and carry out an investigation to test how soil type affects water retention and report findings with data tables and a conclusion. You'd assess that with quizzes, lab notebook check-ins, and a final lab report graded against a specific rubric.
And in social studies, maybe analyze at least three primary and secondary sources to construct a multimedia presentation that evaluates the causes and consequences of a historical event, citing evidence for each claim. You'd use worksheets for formative feedback, and then a rubric to judge the final presentation and bibliography.
Even in maths, a competency could be solve non-routine problems using multiple strategies and justify solutions in writing. You'd look at how students approach a problem set, share strategies, and then submit a set of problems scored for both correctness and justification.
Rubrics really come into play here, don't they? They make expectations explicit, and you can define clear levels of performance. For example, a collaboration rubric might look at things like contribution, communication and listening, and role management, each with descriptors from beginning through to exceeding expectations.
Yes, and for critical thinking or information literacy, rubrics can track things like the quality of questioning, use of evidence, or the ability to select and evaluate sources. The idea is to keep the descriptors concrete and tied to actual evidence you can see in the student's work.
So, how do teachers actually help students develop these competencies? What kind of instructional strategies work best?
There's a whole toolkit. Modeling thinking processes like think alouds, scaffolding complex tasks with checklists and mini lessons, using active learning routines like jigsaws or peer review, and designing performance tasks like real world problems or role plays.
And let's not forget explicit skill instruction, teaching students how to structure arguments, collaborate effectively, or use digital tools, plus frequent formative checks, quick writes, exit tickets, using rubrics for self-assessment.
Reflection is big too. Having students reflect on their process and growth helps them become more metacognitive, aware of their own learning strategies and progress. That's really at the heart of lifelong learning.
And what about inclusion and differentiation? Not all students come in with the same strengths or needs.
Absolutely. Make success criteria visible. Use rubrics. Show exemplars at different levels. Offer multiple ways for students to engage and express their learning. Different products, multimodal options, tasks at varying levels of challenge. Scaffold access with graphic organizers or vocabulary banks and use diverse groups so students can learn from each other.
And technology really supports this, doesn't it? For information literacy, you can teach source evaluation using digital tools, have students create multimedia presentations, or collaborate using shared documents and boards. Digital portfolios are great for tracking progress and collecting evidence.
Exactly. And assessment tools in learning management systems can streamline feedback, peer review, and documentation. The point is to build a system where students not only learn the content, but actually develop and show those key competencies.
So, if you're planning a competency-focused lesson, there's a handy checklist. Write a clear competency statement. Identify where your students are starting from. Scaffold the learning activities. Design formative and summative assessments aligned to the competency. Develop a rubric. Build in reflection and revision. Ensure accessibility and document progress.
And remember, the goal is to shift from just covering topics to actually cultivating those transferable skills: reasoning, creativity, collaboration, communication, problem solving, and digital literacy. With clear, accessible competency statements and aligned instruction, every student can build abilities that go way beyond the classroom.
Brilliant summary, Lisa. For anyone listening, why not try writing three competency statements for your next unit? One cognitive, one social, and one digital. Build a simple rubric for each and design a formative task that gives students actionable feedback. It's a great way to start.
That's a fantastic challenge, James. And remember, with a bit of reflection and deliberate design, you can make a real difference in developing those 21st century skills. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Take care and happy teaching.